Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
In Luke 4, verse 16, let's just read the word of God. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found it where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." We'll just finish there. Jesus went back to his hometown, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking and been doing a whole series led by the Spirit about the Spirit of the Lord being in a believer in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming upon us to do the works of Jesus, to see the power of God to change the world. And Jesus is speaking here about when he was 30 years old, he was baptized in the Jordan. And as he came up, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he went into his hometown. He went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He used to go to church in those days. And he perfectly fulfilled the will of God, stood there, and he read out the fulfillment of what had already happened to him. And if you're a born-again believer baptized in the Spirit, you can read this out and say, "This is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free." Everything about Jesus looked the same as it had 3 weeks ago. But the difference was that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, which you couldn't see with your natural eyes. But he knew that he was anointed. And if you're born again, baptized in the Spirit, you need to know that you're anointed, that the Spirit has come upon you. And Jesus said, "The Spirit is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Jesus says the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for me to have amazing times all by myself or just with my close group of friends. The Spirit is upon me to go out to others who as of yet haven't heard about the gospel, the good news. So actually Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit upon his life and upon ours is for others we haven't reached yet. You have an anointing for people you haven't met yet. Just think about it. There are people who need what you have. And Jesus said that there's an anointing on you to preach, to speak about, to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, if we were to ask a question then, what is the good news? If you're anointed to preach good news, what is the good news? Well, you would probably answer, like a well-taught believer, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead. And whoever puts their trust or put their faith in him will not perish, but have eternal life, wouldn't you? You'd say you know what the good news is. You're anointed to preach that good news. And I just like to unpack the good news a little bit differently, because we know that that is the good news. But what Paul says about the good news in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it goes from this amazing truth that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We love that scripture, don't we? Because whoever believes in Jesus has become what the Bible says is in Christ. All things have passed away of the old you. Can't hear this enough, church. And all things have become new. So you are a new creation in Christ. The old you no longer is what you are. You're a new person created in God's image with Christ in you. The anointed one and his anointing, the Holy Spirit in you. That's your new identity. But in verse 19, Paul says, the good news is this, guys, get it, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now, hang on a minute. On the cross, God was doing something through Jesus, his son. What is God doing? We know that God is suffering at this point, that he is bleeding, that he has a crown that is a curse, the thorns on his head. We know he is suffering the worst possible death. And you and I know that he became sin for us. But this scripture says that God, through Jesus, was reconciling the world to himself. Now, if you were to define the world, that we've got good news for the world, it is that God is reconciling the world to himself 2,000 years ago. So you could say the reconciliation has taken place. Because on the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. I've done the work to reconcile everybody in the world to myself. That's what God was doing. He wanted mankind so much, man that was separated, people separated from God through their sin. He said, I'll deal with the sin problem. And he has, perfectly, wonderfully, amazingly. He has already dealt with the salvation for every human being in every generation. He doesn't have to do another thing because he's already reconciled everyone to himself. This is what God was doing. Now, people or man has to do something in response to that. But God has already done his part in reconciling the world to himself. Now, to reconcile means just simply that we were God's enemies because of our sin. We were in rebellion against God. We were not going God's way. And so our sin actually made us enemies of God. You and I were enemies of God through sin. We're not just slight failures. The Word of God says we were enemies. We were cursed. Destined for hell. Eternal separation from God. But God in Christ was saying, I want everyone. And so I'm dying for everyone. So that enemies can become friends. So Jesus is saying, I am not counting man's sin against him. So verse 19 again, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. You have to be aware that whenever you're winning somebody to Christ or going into the world with the anointing that's upon you to tell people the good news, as you stand before them, speaking to them, no matter what sin they're in, no matter what they've done, God is not holding that sin against them. So he doesn't go around with placards saying you're a sinner. He goes around saying there's good news for sinners. Because in hearing the good news, they'll know they need to be forgiven their sins. Because Christ died for, not good people, but for sinners. All of us were sinners. Because there was nobody good except Jesus. And so God is not holding the person down the road who's operating in trafficking, sex trafficking, their sins against them. He's not holding the gay couple, their sins against them. He's not holding anyone's sins. He's not counting and saying, I'll not forget that one. He's saying, I'm reconciling everyone in Christ to myself. And so the good news is, everyone can be reconciled to God. No matter what your state or condition. And if you're anointed to preach good news, your message is a message of reconciliation. That enemies can become God's friends. That those who are absolutely separated from God through their sin can receive reconciliation and become one with God in Christ. And Paul means a new creation. Because sinners can't just be forgiven their sins, they need to be given Christ, a new nature, so that they have his nature, which is righteous, to do righteous things. So aren't you pleased you're the righteousness of God in Christ? So your nature is to do right. It's your nature to be holy. It's your nature to please God. The old you's gone. The new you wants God. And all that he wants for you. What amazing news. And anybody can have what we've got. And we know that the door into this relationship is repentance and faith. It's to turn around and to believe in Jesus. The greatest sin that will keep you out of heaven is unbelief. In fact, the only sin. Bosh. Because if you believe, you'll get in. What about the guy on the cross who received Jesus at the last minute? He didn't do any good works. No opportunity at that point. And he received the gift of salvation. But what interests me and has been interesting me for months is that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Have you ever really thought about that, to the poor? And then Jesus picks up this analogy of Elijah in a time of famine, where famine was throughout the land. Everybody was living with the effect of famine. And he says there are many widows, there were many widows in the time of Elijah, who were just as poor as the one widow in Zarephath, the outsider, who got the miraculous provision from God. What was he saying? Well, let's think about the poor. And I'm not just talking about materially poor. But the materially poor can teach us a spiritual lesson about poverty. Okay, so we can learn a spiritual lesson from those who are actually poor materially. The poor are always hungry and thirsty. They always need. They need something. They need a miracle. The rich are the exact opposite. They don't need help. They don't need saving. They don't need anything. They are perfectly fine without Jesus. And Jesus was saying that in the time of Elijah, everybody was living in poverty. Widows particularly, who were on their own raising their kids, didn't have anything. And God wanted to go to them, but they said, no, we don't want God. And so Elijah, desperate, because the heart of God's always desperate to be giving to someone, to be working a miracle for anyone who's hungry and thirsty, said, I'll have to send you to an outsider, a few miles away, Elijah, but she will receive the message, the word, the anointing. And so this begins to open up a whole understanding about how to bring good news to the poor. For me, it's speaking. The word of God is speaking to us that if we keep going for the rich, then the poor will stay thirsty and hungry. And if we try to bring good news to the rich, and I'm not talking materially, they don't need God. Therefore, they don't need you. Therefore, they don't need the anointing on your life. And Jesus was in his hometown saying, you, I came to you first because I want you to receive what I'm carrying. But you don't want it. And so I'm going to have to go to those who do. And I believe as the Church of Jesus Christ, there's so much fruit out there that is beyond the people we've already spoken to. And that if we keep going for the same rich crowd, I don't mean don't persevere with your families. Understand the balance of Scripture. Continue to be a witness. But understand, there are thirsty people out there. There's hungry people out there that need the good news with the anointing that's on your life to bring it. You're anointed to bring good news to the people you work with, who live around you, who you meet on a daily basis. There's an anointing on your life for the poor, for those who are hungry and thirsty. I love, there's a scripture in Isaiah, I'm just going to read it, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 17. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. Now, God is not speaking about needing a glass of water. He's speaking about a spiritual thirst and a poverty. Anybody who doesn't have Jesus is poor. Now, Jesus died for the rich and the poor. He came to his own, the Bible says, but his own did not receive him. But to all who did welcome him and receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So in other words, the givers need to go to the receivers. The church are the givers of the good news. And we're to go to the receivers, those who will accept the message. Have you ever been talking to somebody and it's like peachy? It's like picking a ripe peach off a tree. It's like they fell off into your hands and got saved. Well, God wants you to have that experience. If you haven't done that yet, you've got an anointing to pick some fruit, to see people saved. But it's wonderful when somebody, it's actually quite disheartening to talk to somebody who's going, don't need God. Got a witness anyway. I'll tell them the good news anyway. I remember sitting with a very, when I was in the business world, a good friend of mine, but she had a goal to become a millionaire, multimillionaire. That was her goal. And so when I became a Christian, I was really on her case to tell her that she needed to become a Christian. And she sort of would argue and argue and argue late nights. She'd had a glass of gin here and try and argue. And I was a new believer, so I was like, I don't care what you think. Jesus, you need Jesus. I didn't know very much, but all I knew is, you need the life I've received. I'm forgiven. I'm new. I'm free. You need this. And I was a slight irritant in her life. She still liked me. She was absolutely disappointed that I'd become a Christian, actually. Because she said, you're no fun anymore. I said, well, I'm a different kind of fun. I'm a holy fun person now, which is much more fun. There's a greater joy in holiness than there ever is in the pit of sin. So I just did all I could, and one day I said, listen. She said, please don't tell me about this again. I said, listen, I know our paths will go different ways, but I want you to always remember that unless you receive Jesus, you will go to hell. And I don't want you to ever get to the point where you say, I was never told. I love you enough to tell you. I'm not backing off, even from the rich. Jesus died for the rich and the poor. We're here to be a witness to all. But the good news is received. Where did God send the prophet who brought the miraculous dimension of the presence of God? To a widow who would take what he was saying. Humble, poor, I need God. And here we see the poor and needy search for water and there is none. I think if we could look over our towns, our friends and colleagues, and we'll say, there are poor and needy searching for water out there. And God says, there wasn't any. There isn't any in the world. Remember, we're passing through the valley of Baca. It's a dry and desert place, but we're here to make it a place of springs and a place of outpouring. That's what we're here to do, transform the world. But the Lord says, I will answer them. I will answer the cry of the world. He answered your cry. You received Jesus. Somebody told you. You were thirsty. And somebody gave you Jesus. The drink that never, ever, ever, never runs dry. He is always the satisfying one in every person's life. And the Lord says, I will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll make rivers flow on barren heights. Now, that's an unusual place to have a river flowing. God is going to pour out his spirit in unusual places. Dry, barren, nothing happening heights. Do you know you're anointed for dry, barren places? You're anointed for a famine of God in this world. You have an anointing to bring life. I know you're liking this message. I will make the rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I'll turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, brilliant, God's going to send a revival. And all over this place, it's just going to be, we'll stay here praising him. In this nice building. And suddenly we'll say, oh, there's a pool over there. There's all things happening everywhere. No. The same way he did life through Jesus is the same way he'll do life through us. To pour out the Spirit on the dry and barren land means that God will connect you with a thirsty person. That's revival. That's the life of God being poured out. Actually, revival means to come back to the fullness of life so that you're pouring out. And so God's answer is you. Why don't you say to somebody, God's answer is you. God wants to connect us with the thirsty, poor people. Say he has anointed me. The Spirit is upon me to preach good news to the poor. So my prayer in the last few months has been, Lord, connect me with the poor. Because I've got an anointing for the poor. I don't want to keep going to people who say, nah, don't want Jesus, I don't want what you've got. I want to go to the ones that are willing to receive. Jesus came to his own. Remember, his own didn't receive him. But for those who did, he gave the right to become children of God. Now we're going to finish with Luke 19 and just look at an example of Jesus anointed to preach good news to the poor. Luke chapter 19. That's why we need to pray for spiritual sight. You can never tell whether anybody's poor until the Lord shows you their hearts. And this is an example of someone who looks as though he's got life altogether. But actually, Jesus saw beyond the altogether. That went out a bit wrong, didn't it? Jesus saw beyond the exterior and into his heart. Brilliant. Keep focused, church. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be with the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For God, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So the anointing's on Jesus to preach good news to the poor, and he is passing through Jericho. I always think it's interesting that as we pass through everyday life, whether it's Taunton, Hemyock, Wellington, Chard, Minehead, your workplace, we're passing through looking for an opportunity to see God's life come to somebody. Or at least that's what Jesus was doing. He wasn't just going to pass through. I don't want to pass through life without changing somebody else's life. Do you? I don't want to go through this week without having a connection with somebody who's poor in spirit. Somebody who's hungry for God. And so Jesus is passing through, and there's this guy called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief exec. He was probably on 300 grand a year. And he wore Armani suits. Now, try and think of that climbing a tree. Honestly, think about it. Children climb trees. A suited, booted, millionaire. Wealthy. He was wealthy. The guy had bucks. He was in the money. If you're in Armani, you're in the money. Unless you got a designer fake. And there he is, up a tree. He climbed a tree. Do you not think he might be a little embarrassed losing his image? I mean, this guy's top dollar. He's one of the guys that you would want on your team. In fact, be a great tither. And this guy, everything seems to be doing well in his life. And he is wanting to see Jesus. So in other words, he's got something in his life that is speaking about dissatisfied with my current knowledge of God. He is poor. This rich man's poor. This is why I wanted to use this parable, to turn it on the head, where the poor and needy search for water. Don't define poor by broke. Let the Holy Spirit show you who are the poor, Lord, who will receive the anointing and the good news of reconciliation that I have to bring. So Zacchaeus, I mean, he's up this tree, he's interested, he wants the Lord. I would imagine his wife might have had something to say about it afterwards. You know, some people don't step out beyond seeking God because it might affect the family. But I like Zacchaeus because he's putting God first. He's saying, I want God. My kids might even be embarrassed because they go to some public school somewhere and they're all taught etiquette. But here I am up a tree. The teenagers will have a real problem with this. This is not image. It's not cool. What is he showing us? He's hungry for God. And so Jesus is passing through. You know the story. We've just read it. And Jesus reached the spot. So he's on a journey. He gets to the spot. Now, there is a spot for you and me this week. God wants you to reach the spot where you look up and you find that God has provided somebody for you to tell the good news to. Who you're anointed to do this for. And he looks up. And what I love about this is that Jesus must have known, probably in prayer before the day began, that his name was Zacchaeus. Because Jesus calls, God calls everyone by name, not number. It's not your number's up, your name's up. Zacchaeus. Come on, get down. You've done enough to show me you're hungry for God. I'm going to come home with you. My presence is going to come into your home. What a reward. Imagine, 50 years on, after the crucifixion, the resurrection, Zacchaeus would have gone round everywhere saying, I had him in my home. He came and ate with me. And what he talked to me about the good news of the kingdom, he said, I just decided all that other stuff was of no value in comparison to having Jesus in my life. And he said, Lord, he'd accepted Jesus as Lord. Lord, not only is my heart touched, so is my pocket. And you always know when it's a true conversion. When God gets your money. And it's true. It's true. Because God, who gave everything for me, I will give everything for him. And he didn't just become a generous man. And probably a pretty wealth provider for the kingdom of God. But he also became a man of integrity in business. We're talking about a complete turnaround. And that's why Jesus said, salvation's come to this house. He's a son of Abraham, which means a son of true faith. He became a believer that day. Because that's the only way to be reconciled with God. Not just to have a visit with him. But to become a true believer. Someone who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Isn't this amazing? Well, I was reading this week, and early morning praying, and then sort of partway through the day, I went back to reading. And I just felt, Lord, I've been praying about this poor thing, the good news to the poor, for months, actually. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is doing something fresh amongst us with the presence of God, and that will continue. Knowing that it's important that we continue to train and equip and minister before God in prayer. But also knowing that this anointing isn't just for us. But it's good news. It's the anointing to bring good news to the poor. And I said, Lord, I just feel. I just want a Zacchaeus. I just, give me something today. So I've finished my time with the Lord and went, made coffee, had breakfast, got on with the day, went back to reading. Just took a few minutes just sitting down during the day. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just felt, and it was not, I didn't hear a voice. I didn't get a vision. I just felt I needed to get up and go out. So I got up, went out, looking for my Zacchaeus. There's a short man. No. It wasn't like that. I was looking beyond the natural. And I was looking and had a chat with this guy. No, that wasn't the one. And you just know. And this woman, actually, I was actually looking for a man. This woman waved at me. So I went, hi. So I went to talk to her and she started talking. And she asked me what I did. And I said, well, most people can't get the Christian kind of what we do. So I said, pastor. So I said, I'm a vicar. Thinking that works for a lot of people. I'd rather it work for them than it become a challenge. So I said, I'm a vicar. I said, well, I'm a minister, but you would call me a vicar probably. And she said, we've just moved down just south of Exeter. So they haven't moved to this area. She said, and this guy comes over. I thought, right, this is Zacchaeus then. And he comes over, starts talking. He said, we've just moved. And we've been going to this church where the vicar, well, I mean, they've just baptized people in water. Adults. I said, what a good man. Bring it on. Well, he's a good man then. And we've loved it. We started to go back to church in November of last year. And we love it. They do all this. They clap. And we just love going. I'm like, talk about looking up, saying, I'm coming to your house. I was in the spot. And the woman, they were like, oh, so hungry for God. And I said, you know, I was praying exactly about you this morning. God put you on my heart. I didn't know who you were, but now I know you. And I already knew that this morning this was going to happen. And I had to get out of my chair and go for a walk to meet this couple. Well, it turns out that they wanted to do Alpha in their previous church. And I said, well, you need to find a church where either Alpha is being done. Because they wanted to be baptized without being saved yet. And the vicar was really wise. He says, you need to do Alpha first. Because, actually, he knew they weren't believers. They wanted God, but they hadn't come to believe and accept Jesus. And so, he said, you need to do Alpha. This is, just imagine, people not saved wanting to be baptized. Are we talking the poor and thirsty are searching for water? Is this a good example? And so I just said, listen, I'm going to be available to you. We can meet again. And if you don't find a church, I'd rather you got planted in a church because I believe that. I believe everybody should be born again and planted, rooted in the local body because that's the will of God. That's where people flourish. It's where the whole life of God flourishes in your life. But I said, listen, if you can't get anybody to do a course, I'll do a course with you. We've written a course called Life Worth Living. It's a bit shorter, 5 sessions. And I don't know how many hundreds of people have been saved through that course. Hundreds. 5 people recently through Habitat. I mean, Jay and Lee, you did Life Worth Living, didn't you? You got saved through Life Worth Living. I mean, look at it. Fruit. So I said, listen, I'll do the course with you. So I might be leading them to Christ. I don't know if it's me, but they are hungry. And isn't it good on a journey to look up and see the ones that are poor and thirsty? I believe God wants to connect you as an anointed man or woman of God with those who are searching for God. and that we're not to waste all our time on the same small circle, but to break out of that circle into new ground. We're hoping the small circle gets saved, but on the way we're going for many more.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.